We're going to get into today's message. Hey, listen, if you missed last week, I want to encourage you to go back because we talked about living for God in a wicked world. And how many of you know our world is not getting any better? And we can learn principles from Noah on how to live in this world. How many of you love storms? This week we're talking about surviving a storm. How many of you are afraid of storms? Like the really bad ones? Hey, listen, storms can be interesting to watch, right? I mean, I kind of like watching some of that, but it's frightening to experience some of those things, right? I was looking at that video with the ones on the beach. There were people walking up and down the beach with that happening. How many of you know, if I'm on the beach and that's happening, I'm out of there. I'm sorry, I am not hanging out for that. How many of you have a storm story that you survived in your lifetime? Something that was really intense. Raise your hand, like if you went through something. I want to give you just a brief storm. We've all gone through many of them, but in 1997, we were living in Colorado, and there was the blizzard of 97. This was the fifth worst storm in Colorado history, at least up until the point they were doing it. And we were in Colorado Springs, and you look at the totals of it, was 24 inches of snow. Now, okay, you think, that's not that bad, but, you know, I don't want to be in 24 inches of snow. But the problem was, it was a blizzard, so there were high winds at the same time. So that 24 inches of snow ended up looking like this. Like right here, you see the bottom of the fence, but up here, it was up over the fence. In our backyard, and our kids loved it, we had a two-story house. And on one end of the yard, you could see the grass. On the other end, where we had a stairs going up to a deck and to our bedroom, the snow was all the way up there. And they wanted to slide down so that wind would blow these incredibly big drifts. Here's somebody whose car in 2 feet of snow got buried. There were actually a number of people that died from this in their cars because you couldn't see. You literally could not see in front, and they just stopped, and they didn't die from cold. They died from carbon monoxide poisoning because the snow covered the car, and then the fumes just started going inside. As a matter of fact, we were hosting a small group at that time for our church on Friday night, and the forecast said 2 to 4 inches of snow. And my wife, and she still lets me know it today, said, "Do you think we should cancel?" And I said, "Nah." I said, 2 to 4 inches of snow, that's nothing. Well, we started our small group. By the time it was over, we could not see. I mean, berms had already been built up. The weatherman lied to us, right? So I blame him for that. We tried to get in. We got in. I had a little Honda Civic. It was tiny, and we got in. The kids were little, and we're starting to pull out of the driveway, and I told my wife to reach around and knock the ice off the windshield wiper. And she reached out to do that, and she pulled the windshield wiper back in because it broke off. It was about that time we realized, I turned around, and we're like, we started the small group on Friday. We didn't leave till Sunday afternoon. Along with everybody else in that small group. It was crazy. I mean, this is what was taking place. Cars buried. You couldn't get out. I love this one right here, trying to get to your mailbox. And that's 2 feet of snow. I mean, that's all, and that's with it blowing up like that. So when they say 2 feet of snow, don't just think 24 inches. It was a whole lot worse than that. So, but I'm not going to talk about those kind of storms, but although Noah certainly faced that kind of a storm, not a blizzard, but rain like you wouldn't believe. Am I right? I want to talk to you today about the storms that come in our life. You know, the ones that you're just kind of bebopping along in life, and it's like it wasn't your fault, you really couldn't avoid it, but suddenly you find yourself in a storm that seems like it'll never end. COVID-19, right? Like, what in the world? That's a storm. You know, you may be doing okay, I'm doing okay, but there's a lot of people not doing well. A lot of people that are not doing good. And in the middle of this storm, sometimes when you're in those situations, it feels like you're losing control, right? Not just of one thing, but like everything. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going to turn. I don't know when this storm is going to end. I mean, some examples, maybe you got to a point where you thought your marriage was strong, and then suddenly a storm hits, and you're not sure if your marriage is going to survive. You're not sure if you're going to make it. Is it over? Or maybe you lose somebody close to you, a parent, a spouse, a child. I think about my grandmother, and I know my mom's watching online, but she outlived two of her three kids. My mom, obviously, if she's watching, was the one that survived. So, and I remember my grandmother saying, you know, that's the worst thing you could possibly do is lose a child. You're not supposed to outlive your kids. And maybe a best friend, and it just rocks your world, and you find yourself in this storm of pain and grief that you're going through. Or maybe, you know, I think of our grandkids, everything gets related to that once you become a grandparent, am I right? So, you know, when they're young, they're like your pride and joy, and you got all these dreams for them, right? All of these aspirations, and then all of a sudden, things change. All of a sudden, something happens, and you're not sure. Or maybe your finances suddenly take a turn for the worse. You lose your job. Oh no, what am I going to do? Or one day, you're in good health, and the next thing, all of a sudden, some health crisis hits, and you're on the edge of your bed wondering if you're going to live through this. Am I going to make it? I mean, listen, we all experience storms, am I right? And I wish it was just one storm, but it's like all kinds of storms that happen in our life. And here's the question that I want to pose to us today. Why is it that some people seem to come through a storm and seem stronger, while other people go through the same storm and get destroyed? What's the difference? How is it that some people thrive and other people don't? And I believe that's why we're talking today. How do you survive a storm? How do you get through it and come out on the other side, not just barely making it through, like, oh man, I didn't know how I was going to make it through, but I'm talking about coming through victorious. You realize you can get through any situation with God on your side as a victor. The Bible says that you are more than an overcomer, right? Not just an overcomer. You know, an overcomer, if you're relating it to football teams, is like, hey, listen, we won 8-7. I guess you could do that with a safety or something like that. That's an overcomer, but more than an overcomer is like 50-something to 0. Right? God has called us to survive, and I believe thrive. Noah and his family faced the most tragic storm that ever happened in the history of the earth. I mean, you can imagine, whatever you thought it was bad, Noah's storm was worse because it took out everybody but them. And I believe that as we study the life of Noah, we can learn storm surviving principles. So if you are taking notes, I'm going to be highlighting a few of these as we go on. Things that we can learn from Noah that we can apply to our life. So we're going to start out in Genesis 6, 11 and 12. It says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. And I kind of covered this last week. Sometimes we see people doing things that are just wrong and crooked, and we think, God, how can you let them keep getting away with that? How can you do that? But as we look at that, I just want to remind us that God knows. God knows what's going on in our world. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows the choices you and I are making. And ultimately, it may not come as quickly as you want for other people. How many of you know sometimes we wish quick judgment on other people, right? Like the person that cut me off in traffic, if they can just get a flat tire up the road. Or have you ever said this where somebody speeded past you and you say, where's a cop when you need one? Am I right? You want judgment on them, and you want to be able to pass by them and kind of snicker as you drive by. Am I right? Come on, am I the only one that's ever done that? But all I got to say is thank God the time I wasn't driving completely safe. Well, there are some times that I did get caught, but a lot of other times it didn't. So here's the thing. Ultimately, God will judge evil. Ultimately, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in God's time. And in the case of Noah, the penalty was severe. God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence. The earth is filled. And he says, because of them, I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Listen, God was so devastated at the condition of man's heart that he was essentially going to do a reboot. We all understand reboot, right? Amen. Like if your phone or your computer is acting a little wonky, what do they tell you to do? Yeah, turn it off and turn it back on. So essentially, that's kind of what God, like everything is torn up. We're gonna restart the earth. But Noah was about to find himself in the middle of a big storm. But guess what? God had a plan for Noah. God was not going to reboot Noah. Genesis 4, verse 14, he says, "So make for yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it, coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it. Finish the ark within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make a lower, middle, and upper deck." And then he says in verse 18, "I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you." I want you to hang on to that word. A covenant is an agreement. How many of you know when God enters covenant with a man, he keeps his covenant, doesn't he? Right? We break promises all the time. "You promised me you would come help me move. You know what? My socks were dirty. I couldn't make it. Sorry." Right? We break that all the time. God doesn't break it. If God enters into covenant, he's going to follow it. And he says, "I will establish my covenant with you. You will enter the ark, you and your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you." So God is telling Noah, there's going to be a big storm, and not just like any storm. This is the storm of storms, where every person, every animal, everything is going to be wiped out. "But I'm going to protect you, Noah. I've got your back. Build a boat. Build a boat." And listen, I just want to say this, because some people have this opinion that if you're a Christian, you don't face storms. I love the laughter. You know, here's kind of the idea of what you would get is that somehow, I'm going through this tough time. Somehow God must be punishing me, or I don't have enough faith, so that's why I'm going that. So basically, the thought is if you live good enough and you have enough faith, then your life is going to be storm-free. Wrong. I like that. Wrong. How many of you know that it isn't biblical? I mean, the Bible says, and we covered it last week, Noah was righteous, he was blameless, and he walked with God, and he still had to go through this storm. He still had to do it. And I assure you that God said to Noah, "I'm with you. You're not going through this alone. We are in covenant relationship. So whatever storm you go through, God is going to watch over us. God is going to protect us. And God's going to get us to the other side." Amen? So storms come, don't they? Sickness, death, disaster, that's a part of this world. It just is. We are in a fallen world. But I want to remind you that God is in covenant with you and I. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, then you have come into agreement with that covenant. And I want to tell you, God's not breaking his side. All right? God is not doing it. You will survive the storm. Not because you're strong enough, not because you're smart enough, not because you've got some kind of an ability. You're going to survive the storm because God will protect you. God is the one that will take you through it. He told Noah, "Build this massive boat. 100,000 square feet of living space on three decks." I mean, that's huge. And if you think about this, Noah didn't have Home Depot. He didn't get to place his order in for, you know what, I need 120,000 2x4s and 13,000 boxes of nails. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but he had to start from scratch. He had to like chop down a lot of trees. Like, "I'm going to clear some land here to build this boat." Basically, he had to build a cruise ship by hand. Yeah. By hand. Yeah. You know, it's not like the trees fell and they were all of a sudden the shape of lumber. He had to mill them, and I have no idea how you did that. But now, let's just think about it. Wouldn't it have been easier if God says, "You know what, I've got this one spot on the earth that I'm not going to flood. You and your family get there, and then everything else." Wouldn't that have been easier? That would have been much easier. So why build a boat? Why do you? And listen, I don't have an answer for that, but I want to tell you that if you want to survive the storms in your life, we need to remember something, that God's plans don't always make sense. Am I right? Sometimes, anybody have God tell you to do something that didn't make any sense? Like, "God, what? Why do I need to do that?" Like when we talk about tithe or giving, give 10% of your income. "Wait a minute, God, I'm struggling just to make ends meet. That doesn't make any sense. One thing I love about our Friday men's Bible study is I get to hear testimonies from some of the men, and I think of Bob Campbell and Richard was sharing a testimony too, that when things were when they lost jobs, they still continued to give. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? Well, you know, if I'm losing my job, then you better protect everything you got, right? But that's what God tells us to do. What about loving your enemies and treating them with kindness? Right? What about loving those that persecute you? I mean, come on, God, what good could that possibly do? You know that jerk down the street, what they did to me and, you know, what they said. How's that going to make any sense? What about reaching out to other people when you're the one hurting? Sometimes we come in, I just need somebody to reach out to me. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. Well, what about this one? Don't gripe or complain or gossip or stress or worry. Instead, pray. Come on, God. There's a few things I need to complain about, right? I mean, there's just a few things. What about just a little bit of worry? No, he says, instead of worrying, don't complain. Pray. Do the right thing in life, even when everyone else may be doing wrong. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't always make sense, but it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Isaiah 55:9 says this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, what? Higher than your ways, and God, my thoughts higher than you. Listen, God acts and thinks at a different level than you or I. We can't even comprehend it. I like how it says it out of the Message. For as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work. And the way I think beyond what you think. And I think, you know, we got to have our grandkids at the house a couple of days ago. Abby is 22 months and Levi is 7. And I'm just going to say this kind of boastfully, but I have a better problem-solving skills than both of them. All right. Levi wants to stand, but he just can't figure it out. But I'm like, look at me, Levi. I can do it. I can solve the problem. He wants to get from here to there, and he just has to inch along. Well, you know what? As high as my thinking of problem solving is above an infant, God's ways are that much higher than us, and even more. And so it may not make sense to us, the things that God calls us to do, but if we know that God's ways are better, if we know that he knows things that we don't know, I want to follow after him. And God's telling him, make a boat. And then it gets even more bizarre than that, right? He's like, Noah, you're going to build a boat for you and your family. And stay with me, Noah. It's not going to be just you, but I'm going to have you bring a zoo along with you. Right? Genesis verse 19. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, keep them alive, two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground. You will keep them alive. You are to take every kind of food. Look at this. Every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and them. And when I think about that, he took every vegetable, every whatever with him. And I just wanted to ask Noah, why did you bring cilantro, celery, and kale with him? He could have left those off the boat and we wouldn't have to deal with them today. And I know some of you love celery. So some of you like all of that. Ugh. If I've never expressed my dislike for cilantro, I'm just going to make my case right now. Ugh. So listen, here's the thing. When you're reading about the story of Noah, God told him this. Can you imagine the meeting Noah had with his family after God told him this? Like Mrs. Noah's there and the kids and like, hey guys, you know, God told me some stuff. I need you to sit down. First thing that we're going to do is we're going to cut down a whole lot of trees. And then we're going to build a boat. And I'm not talking just a little fishing boat. I'm talking about a really, really big boat. And listen, once that boat is done, we're going to bring all of the animals in the world are going to come on there. Two of every kind. And he's talking this. And you got to imagine, if you're the family, like, Dad has lost it. Right? He's gone. Like what? What? You want to build what? We're not even by the ocean. We're not even by a lake. Why are you wanting to do that? And listen, you wouldn't blame Noah at this point to say, God, I love you, but this is crazy. I don't know about this. I'm okay with the boat thing, but all of the animals, but guess what? That's not what happened. Noah didn't do it. Look what it says in verse 22. Noah did what?
Everything.
everything just as God had commanded him. And I think that's remarkable. Noah's response to God's direction, even though it didn't make any sense, was just simple obedience. Simple obedience. And I want to tell you, this is one of the principles. If you want to survive the storm, we have to obey God. If you want to get through to the other side, we've got to obey God. And it amazes me that when people get in a financial storm, that they don't tithe. It amazes me when you get in, people get into relationship storms, that all of a sudden we take it off the table of what God says about relationships. Or maybe there's conflict. It's easy to talk to other people that are dealing with conflict and tell them, you just got to forgive. You've got to love. But when you have to do it, how many of you know, wait a minute, you know what? I don't know about this forgiving thing. You know what? Do you know what they did to me? And I've seen this time and time again, that when people get in a storm, they drop out of church. Right? People get in a storm and they turn their backs on God. And listen, we should always obey God. But I want to tell you this. Please listen. In a storm, we really need to obey God. Right? It's like we need to step up the obedience, because you cannot work your way out of the storm. I know, because I've tried before. You can't think your way. Anybody face some difficulty, like, okay, I just need to figure this out. I just need to work harder. You know, I need to do harder. You're not going to be able to get out of your storm that way. We need God's help more than ever, and we need to obey our way out of the storm. Right? Because God's way is higher. Listen, if God knows the way out, I know it doesn't make sense, because I got into this situation because of my way. So I need to follow him. And Noah obeyed God. And you know, I remember this part of the story. Maybe you remember it, where he's making this boat and the neighbors made fun of him. Has anybody heard stuff like that? The only problem is I was really disappointed, because it's not in the Bible. I don't know if it was in a movie or a cartoon or something I saw, but you got to imagine, it took Noah 120 years to build this boat. I'm sure his neighbors probably thought he had lost it too. Right, like what's old man Noah doing? Oh, he's still working on the boat 50 years later. What's Noah? Oh, that old man in that boat, he's still going at it, right? You got to imagine that there had to be a little bit of ridicule, and that there were probably days Noah probably thought, do I need to give up? Okay, am I done with this? But he didn't. He completed it. He completed the ark, and then in chapter 7, verse 1, after he's done, the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. And then verse 4, he says, 7 days from now, I'm going to send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature that I've made. Like, good job, Noah, you did it. Now get your family and get in the boat. Because in 1 week, all of a sudden, the rain is coming. And then, look at Noah. Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. He did it. I mean, this is a huge trust moment, isn't it? Because there was no indication. He pulled out his iPhone to see, okay, where's the rain forecast coming? Wait a minute, God, it's sunny skies. I don't know about this, you know. Like no rain is even going, and the family has watched him build this boat for all these years. Now he's like, I'm done, guys. Come on, let's get in. And it's like, no, it's not even raining. Why do I got to get in now? What's going on? But he built it, and then he got into the boat, and I believe Noah immediately obeyed without knowing what the end result. And so to survive the storm, not only do we need to obey God, guess what? We need to keep obeying God. I don't know if we can overstate. Don't quit. Listen, if I could tell you how many times we start out with good intentions, how many people that have been serving the Lord, they're like, oh, I'm going to serve God. And then all the storm hits and they're out. They're out. They checked out. Listen, it's easy to start with good intention, but it takes somebody that keeps going even in spite of the storm. Even though there are times, okay, I'm going to obey God, but maybe in your mind, this trial is just going too long. This is just happening. I'm not seeing any end to this. I've been obeying God, but things aren't turning out the way I thought they were. Anybody ever been there? Like, I thought this would be over by now. I've been doing the right things, and still things are going wrong. I've been faithful to church. I've been faithful to ministry, but I'm still having problems. Listen, I understand that. It looks like it won't end, but I want to tell you, keep obeying God. Keep obeying. I believe that God responds to our obedience. He did to Noah. You don't think he's going to do it for us? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Tomorrow. If he responded to Noah's obedience, he's going to do it to us. Verse 7. And Noah and his son and his wife and his son's wife entered the ark to escape the flood waters. Now, if you just read that verse alone, it almost sounds like the flood's coming and they're like running to get in the boat. Let's get in the boat and shut the door, right? They got in and the flood waters weren't even, like I said, it was sunny outside. Nothing was even happening, but they went in. And here's the point. When I obey God, I find safety. Amen? When I walk in obedience, I will find safety. Building that ark, probably at times, had to seem like an exercise of futility. But guess what? God still had a plan. He had a plan. He didn't tell Noah to build the ark just to see if he could do it. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell Noah to build this ark. Oh, well, he did it. Good job, you know. No, he had a plan. His plan was to keep Noah and his family safe from the storm. The safety is in our obedience. Safety is in our obedience. When you obey God, you ensure that you remain in God's plan. And I've heard over the years, people are like, how do I know if I'm in God's plan? How do I know if I'm following God's will? Well, if you're walking in obedience, then you're in God's plan. Right? If you're doing what God said to do, then instead of doing things your way, you're doing things God's way. And can I just say, probably one of the worst songs with the lyrics ever written, and you may be shocked to that, was by Frank Sinatra. When he said, I did it my way. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I did it my way. Because my way is not the good way. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right in the end, but it only leads to what? Yes. Right. So do you really want to do it your way? No. I want to do it God's way. So no offense to Frank Sinatra, amazing voice, all of that. But you know what? I want to do things God's way. And what happened next in this story, I think, is even more amazing other than him building that boat. Verse 8 and 9. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, birds of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah, entered the ark as God commanded Noah. That had to be a sight, right? All of a sudden, these animals that are coming, and you got to imagine there were animals that some of them people had never seen before. Like, what a porcupine? What is that, you know? What in the world? And this is my insertion here because I'm thinking, because it's the fastest animal, the cheetah was the first one to get there. Right? The last one to get there, any idea? It's the sloth. See, some of you guys are thinking about it. Now listen, it took Noah 120, so this is just my thoughts here, 120 years to build it, so I think God called the sloth on that first day and said, you better start heading for the ark. Because it's going to take you 120 years to get there, right? So I have no idea. But I mean, all of these animals obeyed. You got to imagine that like we have a dog, Kobe, that he's very obedient except for when we come in the house. He like barks his head off. We've tried everything to get him to not do that, but he does. He won't even obey on that. I mean, after he calms down, what about those? How many of you have cats? You ever try to get those to obey? All right, good luck, right? But listen, when the Creator tells these animals to obey, guess what? All of them began to head for the ark from wherever they were at around the globe. And listen, that doesn't make sense either, does it? Because they were going against their natural instinct. Like the anteater and the ants were getting on at the same time. Like, why didn't the anteater like, huh, that looks pretty yummy. You know, I think I want to grab one of those right there. Listen, it violated their nature. Not only that, these two were on the ark at the same time. And I don't think this scene happened on the ark. It wasn't like, you know, a year of the coyote trying to figure out how to eat the roadrunner on the ark. Like, I got him trapped now, right? You know, in the cartoon, he can run forever. But they all came. And I'm sure, all these people in town are like, what is that animal? What is that? I've never seen that before. And I'm thinking that Noah's family, if they doubted that he heard from God before, that had to convince them. This just doesn't happen. Maybe Dad isn't crazy. Maybe he really did hear from God, because what is taking place here, that's supernatural to see these animals coming from all over, all direction. And so the point is this: when I obey God, I experience supernatural. Amen? When I obey God, if you will live your life in obedience to God, it is not going to be uncommon to see supernatural things happen in your life. Right? The supernatural is simply something that happens above the natural. We understand natural. We understand doing things our way, right? Like, God, I'm not going to obey you. God, I think I have a better plan for my finances than you. God, I have a better plan for my children. I have a better plan for my marriage, my relationship, my business, my career. God, I'm just going to do things on my own. Now, we don't say that with our mouth, do we? But how many of you know our actions do? Our actions do, with our obedience or our lack of obedience. And listen, I want you to hear this. If we follow our way, of course you're not going to see supernatural miracles happen in your life. You can't experience the supernatural unless you're walking in obedience. It can't be a miraculous lifestyle until you begin to follow God's plan. And if you want to experience God's supernatural intervention in your storm, we've got to keep obeying God. Amen. Amen. We've got to keep walking in obedience. It's foolish for us to expect to see miracles when we live a life of disobedience. Amen. Right? Doesn't that make sense? How do we expect God to bless and do all of these things abundantly if I'm not even obedient to Him? And so we've got to follow after Him and experience that. Then, verse 16, the Lord shut him in. God shut the door. Adam didn't even, picture that. Adam didn't have, he didn't have to have a handle. I better pull the door shut. No, God shut him in. Once the sloth finally got in, God says, okay, now I'm going to shut it. And I think that this is a powerful reminder of Noah and the storm. Basically, God is telling Noah, listen, I've got your back, and by the way, let me get the door. I've got your back in this. Don't forget that when you're in the storm, friends, you're not alone. Whatever you're going through, you are not by yourself, because God is watching you. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. His hand of protection is on you, because we are in covenant relationship with Him. And so God is watching over us. This is an important principle for us to remember, right? Because look, it says this, for 40 days the floods kept coming. Listen, if it rains for a week straight, we get tired of it, right? Like, enough rain already. For 40 days the rain kept coming and the water increased. And look what it says, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The water rose and increased greatly on the earth. The ark floated on the surface of the water. And what I want us to understand is that same floodwaters that destroyed everything else lifted Noah. The same thing that brought devastation and destruction, that storm, were the very waters that picked him up and his family up so that they would rise. See, they were in the storm, right? But they were above it. They were above it. And listen to me today. Listen, if you are in a storm, it can't overwhelm you. It can't destroy you, because God is with you. God is with you. And with His power, I believe that you can rise above the storm. If you will keep your eyes on Him, He will lift you up and above it. Yes, it's still going on, but you're going to get through it. Listen, this pandemic, we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it. We are going to get to the other side. Noah didn't avoid the storm. He just simply rose above it. And I believe that was what God has called us. So verse 19, they rose greatly on the earth, talking about the waters, and all the high mountains under the entire heaven were covered. I don't know if you ever thought about how deep that is. I mean, it says the water rose, covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Now we know, I don't think Noah knew at that time, but Mount Everest, 29,029 feet. So that means that the water rose 29,049 feet. It covered Mount Everest 20 feet above that. And I think about trying to put that in perspective. Mount Shasta, if you've ever been up I-5, it's pretty impressive looking, isn't it? Like, whoa, that thing is huge. That's only 14,180 feet. That's less than half of what Mount Everest is. Can you imagine how much water was on the earth? And God lifted them above it. No matter how overwhelming something can be, that God has the ability to lift you above it. There's nothing so big, nothing so powerful, nothing so devastating that any of us face that God cannot say, listen, I can still provide a way for you. I'm going to still lift you up out of this. Verse 21, every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm the earth, all mankind, everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals, the creatures that moved along the ground, the birds of the air were wiped out. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The water flooded the earth for 150 days. Noah was in his family. They were actually in the boat for a year, because even though that happened, if you read the rest of the story, they didn't get out. It was a year's time. And listen, I know COVID hit and people got quarantined and they couldn't handle it for a month being with their own family. My like people, I got to get out of here. I got to go for a drive or something, right? Noah couldn't do that. He's like, you know what? Oh, that son of mine, he's about to drive me crazy. I'm just gonna take the little paddleboard out for a little while and just, no. He was there for a year. Not only that, he had all of the animals with him. And listen, I love animals. They're cute. But one of my jobs growing up was having to pick up the dog poop out of the yard. Anybody ever have that? I hated that job. And Joshua's getting married and moving out, and guess what job I get back? I asked him if he wanted to come back and do that, and he turned me down. I don't understand that, but listen, I will take that job any day over watching the elephants. Yeah, I mean, like, okay, I got to feed all these animals, but we got to clean this stuff up too. Like, that had to get old real quick, am I right? And you wonder that, did Noah ever get to this place like, okay, God, weeks have turned into months. You know, we've been doing this for month after month. Will this ever end? Will this ever come to, am I trapped on this boat? Is this my life for the rest of my life? Is this it? But chapter 8, verse 1 says this, but God remembered Noah. And I know sometimes we think, you know, you're in the middle of a storm, you think, how did this happen? What did I do to deserve this? Anybody ever feel that way? What did I do? Does God even know that I'm here? And I know that maybe you feel like God has forgotten you. Maybe things seem hopeless and endless. Maybe you feel like you've been in that boat or in that storm for eternity. But I want to tell you that God still has a plan for you. God has not forgotten you. Other people might, but not God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. So let me read the verse, rest of that verse. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him on the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. And in verse 2, now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heaven had been closed, and the rain finally stopped falling from the sky. Exactly. Hallelujah. It seemed like at one point the rain would never stop, but I want to tell you, one day it stopped. One day the clouds went away, the sky turned blue. Listen, for weeks all we saw was smoke in the sky here, right? Like you could see the sun. Well, it's like, okay, it's kind of a bright spot, but it's still cloudy. How many of you remember when every time you get to see the sun, it's like, oh man, it looks so amazing. Can you imagine what it was like? Can you imagine when they finally got all the clouds stop and Noah and his family like, whoa, it's the sun. It's blue sky. It's amazing. I believe we all come to a point where we're caught in a storm and it feels like it's going to last forever. I'm just here. This is it. My life stinks, right? But I got a word from God for you that the storm will not last forever. If you're in a storm right now, whatever you're going through, it will not last forever. How many of you know COVID-19 will not last forever? It's almost over, November 3rd, right? No, I'm just... Hey, listen, I just got to say that. So, one day the skies are going to clear and we will see the sun again. And with God's help, we're going to not just make it through, but we're going to make it through victoriously. Amen? Amen. Verse 3 and 4, The water receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of the 150 days, the water had been gone. And on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Noah and the ark landed safely on the mountain, safe and secure from the storm, right? Now let me ask this question. Do you think it was random or happenstance that the boat happened to land on that mountain? By accident. You know, all the waves. Listen, here's the point. The storm was not in control of the boat. God was. We may have thought that the winds and the waves were just driving and tossing them around, but Noah landed exactly where God wanted him. And I think that we need to take a lesson from that the very things that we may fear when we're going through the storm, whether it's waves, fear, rising flood, those are the very things that God is using to position you in your life for impact and blessing. You may be thinking, why did I have to go through this? Why did I end up through this terrible storm? But on the other side, God has you exactly where He wants you. God is positioning you through the storm. God is putting us where He wants us. So I don't care COVID, I don't care whatever, all of that stuff. I'm not even worried about it because I know that God's still in control of my life. If I get sickness, if I encounter whatever, God is in control and He's going to put me exactly where He wants me. Amen? You are going to survive the storm. Listen, if you're watching online, you are going to survive the storm. You put God first. You begin to walk in obedience and stick with it. Keep on, right? I used to hear this phrase, keep on keeping on. Y'all, how many of y'all have heard that before? And it's like, you got to keep going. Even though it seems like it's not going to end, even though it seems like it's eternal, even though you're not seeing what we think we ought to see, right? Remember when Noah sent out one of the birds to see if there was dry land and it came back with nothing? That wasn't what he wanted to see. He could have been like, fine. Well, it just wasn't the right time yet. And so we've got to hang on. We've got to keep walking. And I want you to know that you're not alone. You're not alone. God is with you and I as we go through this storm. And so I want to pray for us today. Actually, if we do we have some of our prayer team? Can you guys come up? And I want to pray for you guys. I believe that there are people walking through some storms. Listen, if you're online watching and you're going through something, you can either let us know there or you can send us a private message. Listen, I need prayer. You can just write it on the page. I need prayer. You don't even have to tell us what, because God knows what. But can I have everybody stand? If you're going through something and you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer, then I'm going to invite you just to come up to the front, and we're going to pray over you. We're going to ask God to give you wisdom. We're going to ask God to give you strength. How many of you know we just need a little stamina sometime to keep going? Just to keep going. But I want you to know that as you come, God is going to see you to the end. He's going to get you right where He wants you, and that's where He's going to begin to bless you like you never thought possible. Amen? Amen.